Les colloques du Collège de France.
So with Bruno's presentation, we're going to continue our move along the spectrum from just ecosystems to ecosystems and people and ecosystems with people. So Bruno Locatelli is an environmental scientist at CIRAD. His research explores the interactions between ecosystems, landscapes and societies in the context of global environmental changes. For this, he uses interdisciplinary approaches, and his work focuses specifically on climate adaptation, nature-based solutions, ecosystem services, and the development of adaptation pathways at landscape scale to support resilient social ecological systems. So Bruno is now going to be telling us more about connecting humans and nature for climate change adaptation.
Thank you, Sandra, for this introduction and also for organizing this event and also for inviting me, of course. Thank you very much for that. Today, we have discovered different perspectives on landscape ecology. In my presentation, I would like to add the human dimension to it, as Adrienne did as well in her presentation. So I would like to talk about social ecological landscape social ecology, which is the study of landscapes as social ecological systems. And I will do that in the context of climate change adaptation. Why? Of course, because we know that climate change is already transforming ecosystems and livelihoods everywhere. And we need to think of adaptation at the scale of landscapes, because it is where the impacts of climate change, the ecological processes, but also the human decisions become connected. So we know this. We know that climate change is a big challenge, and we know that landscapes are the scales where we should address adaptation. But we still have to operationalize adaptation approaches at the landscape scale that can connect or consider both ecological and social processes. When I talk of adaptation approaches, I think it's interesting to think back of the history of adaptation since the 1990s, when we started to talk about adaptation at the global level. And this concept of adaptation has evolved a lot since that time in different ways. And one of the ways is about how adaptation is considering nature. At the beginning, adaptation was basically an engineer approach about protecting society from nature by building dikes, levees, dams, and so on. So it was basically relying on technology and infrastructure, something that is sometimes called technofix. But then there's been a change in the way nature was conceived in adaptation. So we started to see the development of the so-called nature-based solutions for adaptation, as you can see in the middle part of this slide. So the question was more how to adapt with nature. You can see examples of green roofs, rain gardens in cities. And now new approaches are emerging, and they are trying to consider adaptation within nature, so adapting people in the context of nature. So in those new approaches, we try to have a social ecological perspective on adaptation. I'm going to talk about that. But first, we'd like to explain a little bit using examples what nature-based adaptation to climate change is. So it's a form of nature-based solutions that I'm sure you have heard about those solutions, which are quite popular now. And so the assumption behind nature-based adaptation to climate change is that biodiversity and ecosystem services help society adapt to climate change. I'm going to give four examples. The first one will be about urban trees and parks during heat waves. We know that parks in cities are really important to cool down temperature during heat waves can be by several degrees, which is really important for public health during heat waves. There is this joke about an engineer to whom we ask to build a machine to cool down cities, but a machine that does not consume energy, is bird-friendly, and is visually nice. And of course, the engineer responds that it's not possible. But actually, the machine already exists. It's a tree. So by using those trees, we can reduce the impact of heat waves on the population in cities. A second example is about coastal areas. For example, here in Colombia, but there are many documented examples in, like, for instance, in India or in Mexico, where mangroves and other coastal forests have protected villages during storms or cyclones. And the difference is really clear between villages exposed to the sea and those villages protected by a coastal mangrove. A third example is about trees in agriculture, that those trees regulate the microclimate, for instance, the soil moisture, local temperature, wind, they protect from soil erosion as well. So they play a very important role in buffering the impact of climate variability on agriculture. And the fourth example is about watershed and water regulation. So those pictures are from Peru, where there are many projects trying to improve or to restore ecosystems in the mountains, to improve the capacity of those ecosystems like wetlands to store water during the rainy season and to release this water slowly during the rest of the year. So it can be with wetlands and peatlands, but also native forests that will increase water infiltration into the soil. So I've given four examples of nature-based adaptation to climate change. And basically, if we want to summarize those four examples in a simple framework, this is a framework with ecosystem providing ecosystem services, such as water regulation, to the society. The society will see its vulnerability reduced, and in return, society will manage ecosystem. So this is, for instance, a city restoring a wetland upstream because the wetland is providing water regulation to the city, which will face less water scarcity. So this framing is important, it's relevant, it has been very useful in developing nature-based adaptation to climate change in many places in the world, even if the framework was not explicit all the time, but the discussions were around this framework. So it's relevant, but I see it as restrictive, because we miss a lot of interactions here that are important for adaptation. So indeed, adaptation is a social ecological process. It's not about only the ecology or the society. It's about a lot of relations. First, social ecological relations between people and nature. For example, people manage ecosystems. Those ecosystems provide ecosystem services. This is what I have shown in the previous slide. But there are many other relations that I will describe later. But to understand adaptation, we need also to understand social relationships between people. For example, in many adaptation initiatives in the world, people collaborate, they co-create new knowledge, they develop alternative livelihoods to adapt to climate change. So this is the result of social interactions. And finally, we need to consider ecological relations. We have seen many examples of this today during the other presentations, like, for instance, the redundancy of functions, connectivity in landscape, and so on. So we need to consider all those three types of relations to talk about adaptation at the landscape level. That's why I'm proposing to have a new perspective on adaptation, which is about relationality. Relationality means that adaptation emerges from multiple relations within social systems, within ecological systems, and in between. This relational framing is not something new. We have observed in the last years what has been called a relational turn in sustainability science. It means that sustainability sciences have put more emphasis on analyzing relations between people and nature. Like you can see these papers about people-nature disconnection or people-nature reconnection. So it's quite a big topic now in sustainability sciences. But not only. Relationality is something that is an object of interest in many schools of thought. I've given some examples here, like about nature anthropology with Descola, about environmental humanities or nature philosophers. I've seen some, book covers on the right, like with Vinciane Després, Baptiste Morisot, Anastasia Martin, Val Plumwood, and many others. And also people working on relational ontologies, like Arturo Escobar. And going a bit further from this first group of school of thought, I was thinking also of connecting that to the actor network theory by Bruno Latour, and also all the works on social ecological networks by, for instance, Oriane Bodin, and more generally on all the work that has been done on social ecological systems. Okay, so relationality is not something that is, only related to adaptation, but it's a really broad topic that has been studied in many epistemic groups. Then, after this first part of my presentation, which was a bit conceptual, I'm going to continue with a more empirical part. Because we did an analysis on those relations in adaptation, so we analyzed with colleagues, including Sandra and Adrienne and others, we analyzed how nature-based adaptation initiatives mobilized those relations, social, ecological, and social ecological. When I say mobilize, it means that those initiatives, which are like projects aiming at adaptation on the ground, how they shaped those relations, how they enabled sometimes, how they built on. So there are different ways they mobilized the relations. When we started this analysis, we had two main hypotheses. The first one was that adaptation initiatives mobilize those relations differently, which means that we can define archetypes of adaptation depending on how they mobilize those relations. We have another hypothesis that the adaptation and initiatives that mobilize more social ecological relations, so between people and nature, also mobilize more social relations and more ecological relations. So we try to observe correlation between relations. Okay? So I'm going to show what we have done for testing those hypotheses. So we developed a framework in a workshop that we organized 3 years ago, a workshop where we end up, after discussions and many presentation or reflection on existing adaptation initiatives, we developed this framework with 18 relations that I will present quickly. And then we gathered case studies. We had 25 case studies worldwide. We extracted data from these 25 case studies, and we scored the relations. So the question was, for each relation, to what extent an initiative had mobilized a relation for adaptation. So let's see a little bit the framework, but quickly. So we defined 6 types of social ecological relations, which were based on metaphors of how human relates to nature. It was about ecosystem services, for instance, ecosystem management, which I have talked about before, but also more intangible relations, like the moral concern that humans have for nature, the consideration of a web of life, which means considering that humans are part of a web of connection with other animals and vegetals. And also including spiritual dimensions in the relationship with nature. Then, in terms of social relations, we looked at previous research on the collaborative production of knowledge and action, and we came up with 6 types of relations. for instance, related to how an initiative considered distributive equity or power relationships or the diversity of voices and so on. And then finally, regarding ecological relations, we built the framework on the previous works on processes and property that matter for ecological adaptive capacity. Like we had relation related to diversity, but also disturbance regulation, system stabilization, and connectivity. Okay, so we applied this framework and we found archetypes of adaptation initiatives. We found four. I mean, we discovered that some projects, some adaptation projects, are trying to control nature for adaptation, which is kind of we can call adaptation against nature. So it's really top-down engineering approaches, focusing on only one ecological function, such as water regulation. Then we had a group of adaptation initiatives focusing on biodiversity. So they tried to emphasize ecological diversity, and they didn't do much on social aspects or people-nature relations. So we can call them adaptation of nature. Then the third group was about ecosystem services for adaptation. They were very strong on ecosystem services, but also on social relations, which means that the social aspects were considered. So it was the adaptation of people from nature. And finally, we found an interesting group of initiatives performing on all dimensions. So they were mobilizing a diversity of relations, and which is what we can call adaptation within nature. I'm going to give an example of those integrated approaches. This is an example in Peru. In Peru, in many places in the Andes, there are projects trying to what they call sowing and harvesting water. So it means that they try to increase the infiltration of water into the soils to harvest the water during the dry season. And so it's quite common now in the Andes. And I found a very interesting project that was, of course, mobilizing ecological relations regarding water, soil, vegetation, so basically the water cycle. But also they were really strong in the social aspects. They were, one of the objectives, for instance, was to strengthen community organization. They built a lot on local knowledge. They built local, I mean, the trust among participants in the project. And they worked also on cultural affirmation, like organizing festivals, the water festival, for instance. And for the social ecological relations, they were also cultivating a lot of different relations, like fostering the respect and reciprocity. So like nature brings benefits, or nature helps humans, but in return, humans help nature. They were also adding a very strong spiritual dimension to the project using rituals. And they were building on the Andean cosmovision, so the worldview of local people. And of course, there was a utilitarian part of it because it was also about using water for production. But it was not the main aspect of the social ecological relations. Then finally, in terms of the correlations, we found that project that mobilized more diverse social ecological interaction at the bottom of the two plots were also mobilizing more social, which is on the left, and more ecological interaction on the right. So we found this correlation. So for the end of this presentation, I would like to give you the main take-home messages. First, that as we have seen here, as we have seen also in many studies, climate change adaptation is a social ecological process. It's not only about ecosystems of society, but it results from the interaction between human decisions, biodiversity, ecosystem dynamics in landscapes. Then these landscapes, they matter for both adaptation, for the adaptation of both human and non-humans. I think it's still an hypothesis, but we start to have a growing body of evidence about it, that functional landscape and social ecological that maintain connections and cooperation between people improve the capacity of species, ecosystems, and human communities to adapt. Okay. Another take-home message is that biodiversity is a foundation for social ecological adaptation, because biodiversity supports the ecological the adaptation of ecosystems, but also people who depend on them. And we have seen, like with the correlation, that the way people relate to nature shapes resilience. Well, I mean, we haven't seen that directly, but we can continue testing this this fact that the relationship between people and nature are crucial when we talk about adaptation. Especially if we have like a very focused or narrow way of seeing nature, as it, like in the example of controlling nature for adaptation, those initiatives may not have a long-term adaptive capacity. And finally, last messages is about the possibility of using the reconnection between people and nature to facilitate transformative adaptation. For instance, we need to change the values, or we need to change the institution that can facilitate or foster reciprocal relationship between people and ecosystems. And finally, as other people have said, mobilizing diverse relation between people and nature can be a lever for social ecological adaptation. So it's like moving beyond just a vision of utilitarian nature, so just based on the direct benefit from nature, but moving to consider as well intangible interaction, including spirituality. Thank you.
Collège de France, le savoir en illimité. Retrouvez tous nos contenus audio et vidéo sur notre site collège-de-france.fr, les plateformes de podcast et nos chaînes YouTube.